From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a Senate panel plans to review a bill requiring up to 25% of the nation's energy to come from renewable sources. The House Ag Committee has rejected a proposal to narrow its power. And the lagging economy is pressuring ethanol plants to get rid of the premium in cash corn bids. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you about the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair scheduled for this Saturday. After that, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
Made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March wheat at 542 and a quarter, 10 and a quarter lower today. May futures at 555 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter. In July at 567 and three quarters, 9.5 cents lower. September wheat in Chicago at 592 and three quarters, down 8.25 cents. Nearby March Kansas City wheat at $5.70. 11 cents lower. March corn futures, 358 and a quarter, 3.5 cents lower. The May at 368 and three quarters, down 4. July corn at 379 and a quarter, down 3.75. The September at $3.89 a bushel, 4.25 lower. And December corn futures, new crop, 4.5 cents. The loss at $4 a penny and three quarters. The March 2010 corn at 415 and three quarters, down 4.5 cents. March crude oil down 46 cents at this hour. The ethanol is up 2 cents and the RBOB is up 4.8 cents. From the soy complex, March soybeans at 949.5, up 3.5 cents. The May at 953 and three quarters, up 3.5. July beans at 961, 5.5 lower. And the November contract down a nickel at $8.90. March bean meal at $300.50, up, or rather down $1.30. The March bean oil up 82 cents at $32.35. Feb live cattle 83.17.5, down 35. The March feeders at 93.42.5, unchanged. And the Feb lean hogs at 57.22.5, down 37.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil at $40.32 a barrel, down 46 cents, but the April is up 20 at $44.24. February ethanol at $1.55 is up 2 cents. The March at $1.55 and 2 tenths of a cent, up 7 tenths. The natural gas trading at $4.62 and a tenth, up 10 and 8 tenths of a cent. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.21 and a half. Up 4.8 cents. Heating oil futures, 133, just about 4 tenths of a cent higher. And the propane at 71.1 cents is 6 tenths of a cent lower at this hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands just under 8,000. It's 79.56. It's down 121 points, and the U.S. dollar at 85.69. is down, or rather up, 0.68 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says a lake effect snow warning is in effect for LaPorte, Stark, and Porter counties, and lake effect snow advisory is in effect for Pulaski County. In Indiana, that until 3 p.m. Central Time. Today in northern and eastern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers and flurries. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs today will range from 10 in northern Illinois to 25 in the far south. Tonight in northern and eastern Indiana should be partly to mostly cloudy, some lingering snow showers, mainly this evening. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 0 in northern Indiana to 15 in southwestern parts of Illinois. And tomorrow should be mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 25 in northeastern Indiana to around 50 in the southwestern parts of the state of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of interesting things in the world of news that's related to agriculture today in one way or the other. I think maybe we probably should start with Goldman Sachs, who says they'd like to return their loan back to the government.
As we understand it, they're the fair-haired bank that basically missed out on a lot of the subprime interest debacle, they charted the waters better than anybody else. And, from Paulson to some ever other people, they have been former employees of Goldman Sachs. So, they basically say it's slowing down their business, slowing down their high pay scale, and they want to go back to doing business the old-fashioned way. And for a long time, they were, the mightiest people on the street. So it does send a message and kind of a surprise that they can do without government money.
Well, what message does it send?
Well, I think the government wanted them to have the $10 billion, so if there was a problem bank on the block, they were going to say, as a favor, take it over. And I think it sends the message that there was a lot of government restrictions in how they would do business and how they did business, and more openness, I guess, and I think they want to be a little more not open and not share all their ideas on how they make a buck. And I think that's the way they want to play the game.
Well, that's an interesting sort. Does it give you hope that the economy is turning around on the idea that they're willing to give up that much cash?
Well, I think a couple things that's quite interesting. It is quite a debate about the stimulus package.
Right.
And, all of our old political and historic veterans of previous problems and new administration say that the new administration basically has to pass all the major legislation in the first 100 days or Congress starts to get them in trouble. And of course, historians remember Jimmy Carter's famous attempt to try to rule Congress, and Congress ruled Jimmy Carter. And it turned into be an extremely big failure of a presidency because of it. And, of course, I think this is the reason why the Obama team has done a lot of things right, and they're trying very desperately to get the proper legislation mixed together to pass the stimulus package. And the problem, I think, is in the Senate. We do hear a couple of things that are interesting to the farming area, of course, is an interest buy-down on cars,
mm-hmm.
In other words, deduct the interest on car purchases,
right,
if it's made in the U.S. And then the other one is that two senators are trying to get the ethanol blends raised, and, that's extremely important for an industry that uses a lot of corn in the Midwest.
You think they'll be successful?
We sure hope so. Two things that need to happen in the ethanol front is either higher energy prices or higher blends. The first one that would take place and would be the higher blends. We think that all major segments of agriculture ought to at least get by, encourage this being passed. We also think that both political parties in the basically the Big Ten network, so to speak, should get back and push this, as a part of the economic stimulus.
Well, I would think that the livestock producers won't be very much behind raising the blend level for ethanol. They have opposed it along the way anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how all that unfolds.
Well, it's a big part of the equation, and one of the things about it is, there's a lot of corn farmers raise cattle, and I'm sure when the vote would actually come down to it, they'd support, the ethanol program.
Maybe we ought to talk a bit more about corn for the day, off 3 to 4 cents in Chicago.
Yeah, Congressman Peterson also is talking about the idea that with these cheaper prices, there probably is not going to be the tremendous acreage outflow of the CRP.
Mm-hmm.
We also are looking at the corn situation still suffering from basically a lack of exports, a lack of feed profitability, and, of course, the ethanol. But the big factor here is that the corn is cheap, and we are starting to see things in the outside market. For example, copper was putting in a pretty good performance, the metals, and also up until the inventory report, crude oil was even looking a little better. So corn's cheap, and, hopefully we will gain some of the export demand as people go into their marketing year and look at the bait, getting their formulas and also their inventories balanced.
How do you view the CRP at this point?
Well, I think it's something where if we basically slow down the acreage going into production, that's, a big carrot on the end of the stick in the future. And I think that's important. And then also I think that it's also important that we see this lack of aggressiveness in South America as far as new acreage coming on. They've got some major problems with their fertilizer bills, paying for machinery they have bought. And I think that that's also going to encourage some of these lower yield forecasts with the dry weather that we're receiving.
On that subject, what was the reason behind the nearbys being higher today, but the deferreds lower in Chicago for the soybeans?
Well, the continuation that China continues to buy soybeans,
mm-hmm.
and one-third of Argentina is still dry. A group of weather forecasters looked at the American model and increased some of the rainfall for early next week. My guy that I watch says the ensembles really don't paint that kind of a picture, and be careful with that forecast. It's probably a little more stingy and not as generous, and it'll probably be later in the time frame if it does occur. But the market noted that and sold off. There are stories that China did buy two or three cargoes of soybeans. And let's face it, soybeans are the highest-priced commodity that's traded in Chicago at this time.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
If you'd like to hear any of the ag programming that you've heard on the radio station again, you can by visiting our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find our daily ag programming, some weekly analysis, Commodity Week, which is our weekly program. You can listen to them all as MP3 files right there at willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the rest of the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, a Senate panel will next week review a draft bill that could require that 20% to 25% of the nation's electricity come from renewable energy sources. Analysts say an increased Democrat majority means Congress stands an excellent chance of passing such a renewable mandate. The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee will review next Tuesday draft legislation to create a standard. The House Agriculture Committee yesterday rejected a proposal that would narrow its power to market regulation issues affecting only edible commodities. Currently, the House Agriculture Committee has jurisdiction over the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which regulates futures and options contracts ranging from crude oil to pork bellies to treasury notes. The tight economics slowing U.S. ethanol production could be putting pressure on ethanol plants to cut back or eliminate the premiums they pay above local elevators for corn. David Swanson, an economist at Iowa State University, says that the economic realities of the day are making those premiums less viable. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says he would back an attempt to raise the blend levels for ethanol if the proposal is in the stimulus bill before the Senate. But Grassley added such an effort is better suited for other legislation. The renewable fuels industry has been trying to increase the blend levels of ethanol from E10 to levels such as E12 or E15, which groups maintain would not affect vehicle performance. Grassley says he has been working closely with South Dakota Senator John Thune to increase the blend levels allowed for gasoline. Producers in seven states, including Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, may apply to plant approved fruits and vegetables on farm program base acres with no penalty under a new pilot program. Authorized in the 2008 Farm Bill, the Planning Transferability Pilot Project allows producers to plant approved fruits or vegetables for processing on a farm's base acres. Approved produce includes cucumbers, green peas, lima beans, pumpkin, snap beans, sweet corn, or tomatoes. Eligible participants must agree to produce one of the approved crops for processing and to provide the county FSA office with a copy of the contract between the producer and processing plant. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can listen to MP3 files directly from the website. Sign up to have this program delivered to your computer automatically. As a podcast, you could just search iTunes for my name if you'd prefer. Either way works for us. And if you can't hear us on the radio or on the web, you can always go back and listen to the future segments off of the telephone. The number is 217-333-3434. We update that at 10:30 and 3:15 daily with some of the numbers and a bit of the agricultural futures markets. And finally, don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter at willag.org. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's just as easy to get off the list. Just hit unsubscribe. They're both on the right-hand side of the page. Now, up next, you know, this weekend, farmland investors will gather in Chicago on Saturday. I'll have more on the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. The Farmland Investment Fair is Saturday, the 7th of February at Joliet Junior College in Joliet. The Chicago farmers have hosted this fair since the early 1980s. Farmers at the time were struggling, and a member of the Chicago farmers thought it might be a good idea to try to put farmers together with investors. The Chicago Farmers was founded, by the way, in 1935 with the purpose of advancing production agriculture and agribusiness. Jeff Martin is a farmer from Mount Pulaski, Illinois, in Downstate, and chairs this year's Farmland Investment Fair. He says it's a great way for investors and farmers to get together.
Yes, it's a great networking opportunity for, as you said, farmers or investors looking to either buy land, sell land. Plus, with our educational opportunities, find out how you can earn more income from your farmland.
This year, those educational opportunities include breakout sessions on the value of farmland, 1031 exchanges, the economic impact of small acreage farms on local communities, recreational ground, and two University of Illinois programs, one on wind energy, the other on the impact of the new farm bill. Registration for the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair opens at 8 o'clock Saturday, February the 7th. That's in the morning. This is to be held at the Junior College in Joliet. The pre-registration fee is $50 online at www.chicagofarmers.org. Walk-ins are welcome, but that'll cost you $75 for the day. The Chicago Farmers membership includes a blend of farmland owners, commodity traders, agribusiness leaders, farm management professionals, real estate consultants, and those from other affiliated businesses. Many of them will gather the 7th day of February to learn more about the business called agriculture. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Usually we talk to the folks at the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. I'm told that Matt Blaisdell is away this afternoon, and we'll check momentarily to see if they actually show up. Actually, I'll leave their line open just in case somebody from that office happens to show up. But in the mean space, let me tell you about what you can hear on some of our other agricultural programming and the places you can pick that up. Of course, you can listen to us on many radio stations across the state of Illinois. And if you can't hear us on one of the radio stations, you can always go to our website at willag.org. We work very hard to make sure that most of the agricultural programming you hear on the radio is posted there within, well, I don't know, 30 minutes or so after we happen to get done with that program. For instance, this program is on the air live for the very first time during the day at 2:06 in the afternoon to 2:36 once we finish up, posted by about 3:15 in the afternoon. Back to the website at willag.org. You can always sign up to have it downloaded if you'd like right there on our webpage as an iTunes webpage download. And at that point, then, if you'd like, you can sign up to have that podcast delivered to you automatically. Let's see if we've been joined by somebody there at the Climbers facility. Hi, this is Todd. Who am I speaking to? Oh, well, apparently they let us go, so we won't worry about that at this point. And I won't. It won't matter very much. We'll just go on and tell you a little bit more about what we have on our website. So you can find the agricultural programming posted within a half hour of the time that we air it at the radio station. You can find our free weekend newsletter, Director of Ag Programming at WILL. Dave Dickey writes that one. It's a really good newsletter. There are about 2,700 on the list that take it now. They're all volunteers, so we didn't go out and just pick those up. We asked them if they wanted to be on the list, and sure enough, they volunteered or signed up automatically on the website. All they had to do was hit subscribe over there on the right-hand side of the page. And if you don't like it, you can always unsubscribe. Also on the website, you'll find agricultural news, you'll find the USDA reports, and an upcoming calendar of events when ag programming will be done out in the field, so to speak. That's all at willag.org. And by the way, you are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Media and the College of ACES, the Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences College, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, about the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us right here this afternoon.
It's National Stuffed Mushroom Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, John Bachman was born, a naturalist and Lutheran minister. He wrote some of the text for John James Audubon's albums of Birds and Mammals of North America. He also published his own works on botany, agriculture, and southern animals. In 1810, Alexis Soyer was born, a French chef and author. He opened kitchens in Ireland during the famine to sell food at one-half price, and he was also the inventor of several stoves and kitchen utensils. In 1824, J.W. Goodrich introduced rubber galoshes, thin rubber boots to fit over shoes during inclement weather. In 1906, Clyde W. Tombaugh was born, an American astronomer. He discovered Pluto in 1930. Born on a farm near Streator, Illinois, his first telescope was made from old farm equipment parts. In 1930, candy maker Frank C. Mars of Minnesota introduced the Snickers bar. And in 1941, Roy J. Plunkett received a U.S. patent for Teflon. He discovered it by accident in 1938. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In Kansas City, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather. Hi, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest first.
Well, it looks like we're going to get rid of the cold for a little while. How about that? That's good news. We'll have to pay for it somehow down the road. We're probably going to pay for it in the form of wetter weather next week. But for the balance of this week going into the weekend, we're going to warm those temperatures rather dramatically, and it's going to be pretty nice out there. There's going to be some areas that are going to seem like they're all of a sudden in springtime weather. That's after our temperatures this morning dropped down near and slightly below 0 degrees one more time across the Midwest. All that cold, by the way, is headed for Florida citrus country. So tomorrow morning and Friday morning will be pretty darn nippy down there in that part of the world. But here in the Midwest, we are going to get a break. We're going into the warmer bias pattern. In fact, we'll probably stay warm next week, but you won't notice it quite as much because we'll have all these storms coming across the region. It will turn wet. We'll probably have some concern about developing flooding across parts of the region, not just because of the rain systems that are going to come across the region, but also because of the melting snow that will take place ahead of that, and also the potential for some river and stream ice jamming taking place in some areas.
Other concerns in the U.S. we should be watching?
Well, we're still watching the southern U.S. plains down there in the southwest hard red wheat country. It's still very dry, of course, from Kansas into Texas. But with this change in the pattern that I mentioned here for next week, we have a pretty good chance of seeing two, if not maybe three, storm systems going through hard red wheat country. That should help to moisten up the soil a little bit. But I've been telling a lot of people today that the models continue to paint too much moisture in the far southwest corner of the plains. And most likely they're going to end up with about a quarter of an inch of moisture, and that's going to be about it. But all other areas like Kansas and central Oklahoma and places northward into Nebraska and Colorado will definitely get a nice little drink of moisture coming from both rain and snowfall as we go through next week.
Let's stay in the western hemisphere but move to the south and talk about Argentina and Brazil.
Well, today at midday, a little shakeup in the markets out there because of the sudden injection of much greater rainfall for Argentina, supposedly, for the Sunday-Monday time period coming up. This was a very meager storm system earlier this morning, but at midday today, the models came out and tried to aggressively create 1 to 3 inch rains back in parts of Argentina. Don't think that's going to verify, so be real aware of that. But I do think there will be a few more showers that will occur early next week. Our main rain event is still going to be tonight into Friday morning when a fair amount of Argentina will get rain. It should be the last good rain for the region. For about 10 days, we'll probably start to trend a little bit drier after those showers that come on early in the week next week. But for Brazil, it looks pretty good overall. We are drying down some of the southernmost parts of the country again right now, and that makes some rainfall that's supposed to occur this weekend, and especially during midweek next week, very important for them as well. It's not a critical issue today, but if we miss these two rain events coming up, it'll be a different ballgame again for southern Brazil.
Drew, as always, thanks much.
All right, you have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from the U of I each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Drew had to say again, you can do that on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.